2022. And covenant highways. Amen. Shall we lift up our two hands to heaven as we approach the first hour of visitation in Shiloh 2022. Lord, visit me. Lift up your voice and pray. Lord, I desire an unforgettable encounter. Make sure your heart is crying for a definite impartation, definite impression, definite experience. This is the first hour of visitation. Ask God for first-hand encounter. Pray in the Spirit. Pray your understanding. Pour your soul unto God. From this first hour of visitation session, I want to begin to encounter you more than ever before. Encounter your word. Encounter your will. Encounter. Definite encounter in the covenant. Lord, visit me. Begin to let the Lord know that you are opening your heart to receive the understanding of the word. Lord, my heart is open. And by your grace, I am set to receive your engrafted word, which is able to save my soul and give me inheritance among them that are sanctified. Thank you, precious Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In this first hour of visitation in Shiloh 2022, God will surely visit you. And you see, every visitation from heaven culminates in transformation of man. By this hour of visitation, as God visits you, you will experience new level of transformation. In the name of Jesus Christ. When God visits a man, you begin to experience miracles, signs and wonder. He begins to do the unusual. His level begins to change. That is you in this session. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, send your word with power. Put the right word in my mouth. Let my mouth be filled with the word you have said. Give to someone here a word in season. And Lord, we reserve for you with what we know you will do. We reserve for you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Shout a faith fire, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord and please be seated. It's a privilege to be asked to take this first word in the hour of visitation for today. And I'm not taking that privilege for granted. I'm taking it for gratitude. Gratitude to God and gratitude to the apostle over this commission. Our Father, who has kept on handing over to us the table of the covenant for over 40 years. Now, out of the abundance we have received, it is out of it the Holy Ghost will enable me to bring just little within the time allotted. And I believe God's word will find a place in your heart. In the name of Jesus Christ. I'm asked to share with us on The prayer covenant. The prayer covenant. The prayer covenant is one of the fundamental covenants in the scripture. The prayer covenant is a covenant that must be kept. It's not if I like, I pray. If I like, I don't pray. It's a must. He spread out this divine assignment. Prayer is a divine assignment from God Himself. And it's a non-stop assignment. It's not an assignment that I have done it. No. There's always what to pray. And there's always what to pray for. That's why he said, pray without ceasing. This is the covenant that puts you in motion. To escape all oppression of the devil. The prayer covenant. Well, whatever has not been consistent with this covenant in your prayer altar, God will heal all your infirmities. Some of these words are coming, one, to remind you of your responsibility in the prayer covenant. Two, some of the words are coming to empower you for greater power dimension, to pray better. Let me say this to everyone. There is none of us here that has prayed enough. There is no graduate in the school of prayer. We learn more to pray more. We see more to pray better. If you are truly prayerful, you will discover that the more you pray, the more you see the need to pray, the more. If you see a man say, I pray enough. Okay, where is the proof? I've done everything I ought to do, nothing is happening. There are too many things you have not done. That's why nothing is happening. Those who walk according to the covenant and pray according to the covenant, they don't say there's nothing. No, they have something to show. Those who know their God will be strong and they shall do exploit. Well, another thing that this teaching will do, your prayer limitation will be broken. In the name of Jesus Christ. I thought I'm a man of prayer until I read from somebody that prayed better. And ever after I encounter the light, you will see in my office maps of the world, map of Africa, map of Nigeria. You'll be wondering whether I'm doing some aspect of geography. Because they are so conspicuous that. But God has taken me a step further. Every troublesome part of the world is God's territory that is invaded by the vagabonds, by demons and agents of hell. It's my Father's word. The heart is the Lord and the fullness thereof and the people therein. The people should not die. He said, I don't even want evil sinners to die. And then there is a place in the world war is going on. People are dying. Even though it must come to pass, but it can be controlled by prayers. So my own break in the office is to pray. It's also satisfying my physical therapy. I stand up, And any point I discover there is trouble, Satan seems to be winning, I lay my hand and begin to intercede.
I didn't know that before.
And that has expanded my limitation in prayers. I want to say to everyone under the sound of my voice, God will break all limitation in prayer that you have before Shiloh 2022. A new prayer energy will surge up in the name of Jesus Christ. We also learn what it takes to have our prayer answer. Enough of wasted prayers. And enough of waiting forever and become wasted as you are waiting for answers. You are going to a new realm that while you are yet speaking, God will be delivering the answers. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's take our text from Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, the prayer covenant, verses 11 to 13. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. The thoughts they are mean plans, the thought of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I know the package. I have the blueprint. I know the blueprint and the content. But look at the next verse, verse 12. Then shall you call upon me. This is the Almighty, the God of the covenant keeping God, given an assignment. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Oh, that scripture contains all that is packaged in the prayer covenant. You shall call, you shall go, you shall come unto me, you shall call unto me, and then I will answer you. May this scripture be fulfilled in your prayer adventure. In the name of Jesus. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Let me say now that prayer has its root in a heart that is learned with the will of God. You search for me with all your heart, not with all your mouth. That's why you may hear some people shouting, screaming with all manner of demonstration, and nothing is going anywhere. If it is not from the heart, there will be no connection with the heaven. May I give you a definition of prayer? Prayer is heart to heaven communication. Securing God's attention or intervention. Heart to heaven communication. It's not mouth to heaven. Heart to heaven. The moment you are kneeling down and saying something and you know your heart is not there, don't waste your time. Stand up and go and do something else. Because people spend hours in prayer, but their heart begin to go all over the world. They go to their friend in Canada, and from there to the one that is in Holland, and to their office and all the problem that is there, and to their children that are in the school. And then he will say, yes, I pray for 1 hour. To who? You have prayed to yourself. And of yourself, you will get your answer. Beginning from now, put your right hand on your chest. Your heart will be fixed on God. Anytime you approach the throne of grace, your heart will be fixed on God. I come against wandering spirit on the prayer altar. And I command focus and concentration. In the name of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you this. Prayer is fundamental covenant. It is basic. You can't jump it and go to something else. Prayer is not, let's do something else. You can't do anything. And you, if you do it, you won't do it well. If you don't go via the foundation of prayers, prayer is the foundation for every success that will stand the test of time. Otherwise, it will be balloon success that come up now and fade away in no time. Prayer is the foundation. Jesus' ministry, as depicted in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, began with prayers. Jesus warned the apostle, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, or till you be endowed with power from on high. Don't rush. Don't say we know it. Don't say we have been imparted. Tarry. And they were in the upper room praying until the power falls. One of the things that this covenant provoke, as you embrace it and follow the demand of it, the prayer covenant, when followed with understanding, it will deliver to you the power to commence. So you will start anything you want to start where, if you pray before you start. It will deliver to you as you continue, the power to continue. For the apostle said, have you received help from above? And that's what we seek in prayers. I continue to this day. Continuity is a function of connectivity on the prayer altar. And it will deliver to you also the power to complete. You become a man of accomplishment. No more abandoned project. But if you start with prayer and you go lukewarm, continuity is doubtful. And no accomplishment. For every God-ordained venture, power to begin, power to continue, power to accomplish is provoked in prayers. Hear this. Prayer is the control tower in the kingdom. And a pilot that will not mind the control tower will end up in a crash. Your Christianity will not experience a crash. So disconnecting from this prayer tower may lead to a crash in your adventure to destiny. And prayer is one of God's covenant too, for the realization of our glorious destiny. Yes, we have a glorious destiny. We have a prosperous destiny. But we will pray all the way until everything that pertains to us is delivered to us on the platter of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what is prayer? Prayer is dialoguing with God on the basis of covenant guidelines, as spelled out in God's word. Dialoguing with God on the basis of covenant guideline as spelled out in God's word. Covenant rooted prayers are word based prayers that God cannot but answer. That's why you have to fill your prayers with scriptures. It is written. It is written. What are you praying? God may not hear your word, but he will surely hear his word. Prayer is saying God's word back to him to secure intervention, to secure confirmation, to secure manifestation. Let me give you another definition. Prayer is putting God in remembrance of his word and prophecies. For what? To secure delivery and fulfillment. Putting God in remembrance of his word and promises and prophecies in order to secure delivery and fulfillment. Isaiah 43:26 said, put me in remembrance. Come now, let's reason together. Hezekiah is an example of covenant rooted prayers. Hezekiah in Isaiah 38:3. There was a negative prophecy on him. You are sick. You may not make it. You will die. Hezekiah said, for what? And he went to God in prayer and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth. I've walked in the covenant. And with a perfect heart, and I've done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. That's prayer. If you check it to verse 5, you will see that Isaiah was asked to return and withdraw the word. The mountain of Shiloh 2022 is a mountain of remembrance. Just like Hezekiah went to God, you go to God and say, remember now. Begin to press covenant button that must be remembered for the delivery of your wonderful answer. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. What are the covenant purpose for prayer? Number one, to secure help and intervention from heaven. Let us come therefore to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Hebrews 4:16. Let us come. It is to secure help and divine intervention. We are so helpless by many standards. No matter how you feel and how what you think, you are still helpless. If the Lord does not help you, you are finished. Even at your state now, in 2 Chronicles 24, the Bible says, Judah gathered together to ask help. That's one major purpose of prayer. Number two, to advance the kingdom of God. God runs his kingdom through the prayers of the church, the prayers of the saints, to advance God's kingdom on the earth. Psalm 2, verse 8, ask of me. Ask, pray, ask of me, and I shall give you the hidden. For the inheritance, there will be no church growth without prayer. And the uttermost part of the heart for thy possession. You can take hold of anything here. I'm the owner. Ask of me. I will deliver it to you. I will deliver souls to you. I will deliver the material world even to you. To advance the kingdom on the heart. Number three, to resist and destroy oppositions and oppressions. You don't keep looking at the devil, wasting your life, wasting your destiny, tampering with your family. You don't keep watching this unending struggle in your career. To resist and destroy opposition and oppression. Ephesians 6:10-13. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality and power, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, put on yourself the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. And in verse 18, he brought out vividly the covenant, the prayer covenant. Pray always. How many times? With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watch thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So when will you finish this syllabus? Supplication for all saints. Praying always. You now get somewhere and say, I pray enough. You have not prayed enough. You have prayed some prayers. And you must continue from where you stop. The Lord give you understanding. Covenant purpose for prayer number 4. To enforce your consecration. If you are prayerless, you will be sinful without knowing. A prayerless man, we have heard it said in Nigeria, is a powerless man. And the only resistance against the forces of wickedness is prayer. There's nothing the devil fears in you and through you than your prayers. Remove your prayer intensity and prayer life and prayer fire. You are off. The flesh will take over. You become lukewarm, careless. You become insensitive. So one of the purposes of prayer is to provoke and enforce our consecration to God and the kingdom. Zechariah 3, 1 to 3, we see what becomes of Zechariah. Oh, we see what becomes of Joshua. He showed me Joshua, the high priest. Who is Joshua? And then who are you? Standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing in his right hand to resist him. And we see the story up to 4. Satan put upon the man of God, high priest, filthy garment, until he received help from above, take away the filthy garment. And then the change of raiment came upon him. If you are not prayerful, you will wear filthy garment until you become spirit, soul, and body filthy. And what do we mean by consecration? It is the summation of godliness, righteousness, holiness. Are you hearing me? Sanctification. All those cannot be attained or received without prayers. Remember Romans 1:4. The spirit of holiness. So there's a spiritual dimension. There is a spiritual dimension in holiness. And whatever is of the spirit, you receive it through prayers. Anything that is promised by the Spirit must be approached with prayers for delivery. And number 5, the purpose of prayer, to fellowship and interact with God on a continuous basis. It's not just to ask for something. It's not just to receive something. God delights in your coming. He delights in seeing you. He delights in your thankfulness, your praise, your worship. So one of the reasons why we pray is to fellowship with God. In case you feel you don't need anything, go to God. He's your Father. If God is your Father, go home. Go and interact. And can two walk together except they agree? So, the Bible says in Luke 18, 1 to 2, men ought always to pray
and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Colossians 4:3, continue in prayers. Why? The continuity, fellowship.
So it's not just where you kneel down and assume your prayer posture
that you pray. As you drive, you are still in fellowship with Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your heart is talking. You are pouring your soul. Your heart is busy and connecting with the celestial in order to control adequately the terrestrial. The Lord give you understanding. So these are few. It is not all the purpose. But I believe all this purpose shall be fully achieved as you pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let me mention the spiritual dimension of this covenant. There is a spiritual dimension to prayers. That's why not everyone that wants to pray is praying. And not everyone that prays receives answer. There is the spirit of grace and supplication. Zechariah 12:10. And God said, you will pour it upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And that's talking about the church. So I command the fresh release of the spirit of grace and supplication. New fire on your prayer altar. By the spirit of grace and supplication. In the name of Jesus. And Romans 8:26-27 say, we don't know how to pray as well too. We need help. And our helper in prayers, in carrying out the demands of this covenant, is Holy Ghost. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be altered. The Spirit take over. Break, make us to break through limitation. Instruct us on the prayer altar. Strengthen us with might from inner man to continue prayer until we get to a point of answer. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want to let you know we have a prayer answering God. Every prayer that is lining up with the covenant provision is bound for an answer. Whosoever asketh, receive it. God cannot turn down prayers that are prayed in accordance with his word. He delight to answer us. Not answer us. Answer us with good speed. With good speed. In Isaiah 65:24, there is a very good scripture there that make us to rejoice. It shall come to pass, and before they call, I will answer. They are just preparing to call. I say, okay, this is the answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. They have not left the altar. They are still on their knees. They are still lifting up their holy hands to God. God say, I will answer. Beginning from Shiloh 20:22, speedy answer is your portion. Wonderful answer is your portion. You will no longer have wasted prayers. Answer will keep tumbling down. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. What are the covenant demands for answer prayers? Number one, understand the will of God for which you are praying. For the subject matter you are praying. You are praying about marriage. Go and study what God says about marriage. You are praying about healing. Go and get healing scriptures. Meditate on it before you go to prayers. Understand the will of God. Because if we pray according to his will, he heareth us. 1 John 5:14-15. Covenant demand for answer prayers. Number two, avoid ambiguity in prayer. Be specific. 1 Samuel 1:13. Hannah does not just pray, say, hey, I want a baby boy. If you can give me a baby boy, I will return him to you to serve you. Avoid ambiguity. Don't just say, oh God, bless the whole world. That's not prayer. Oh God, bless my family today. You have not prayed. Generalization in prayer cannot provoke an answer from heaven. And number three, have faith in God. Mark 11:23-24. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you have it, and then you shall have it. Have faith in God. Be loaded with expectation. Have faith in God. And number four, approach the throne of grace with thanksgiving and praise. Don't just be in a hurry because you are in an urgent situation. Oh God, calm down. Oh God, do this. Oh God, No. You prepare the atmosphere for Him and for your connectivity. Enter His gate with thanksgiving and His court with prayer. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. So, your approach matters in prayers. Approach with hallowed word of grace. Approach with worship. Number five, fill your prayer with relevant scriptures. You can even open the Bible and read appropriate scripture and be using it to emit fire in your prayer altar. And number six, avoid worry and anxiety. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And as we round up this teaching, what are hindrances to prayers? I just summarize it in 2 minutes. Many do not have their prayer answered and their answer delivered because of the following. Number one, sin and disobedience. God heareth no sinner. Psalm 66:18. If I cherish iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, no matter who I am, no matter the intensity of my vibration. A sinner cannot approach the throne of grace and be accepted and be welcome in the beloved. And Zechariah 7:13 said, because he cried and they will not hear. They will cry and they will not hear. God asks you, stop fornication. You won't stop. You now have HIV. You are crying. He may not answer. You better introduce mercy into your prayer point. Number two, ignorance of the will of God on the subject matter. Many are ignorant of provisions in the covenant. They are ignorant. They don't know it. Yet they claim they know. And so the prayer is dried, empty. The prayer has no substantive evidence. So, my people are described for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. Go and be enlightened and receive understanding. And number three, doubt and unbelief. Let him ask in faith, not doubting. If you doubt God, you are damned. Unbelief, you must believe Him before He can receive you and before you can receive what you ask. James 1:5-7. And number four, self-centeredness. An uncare attitude for the poor and others. Give me food, give me water, give my wife, give my children. After that, prayer has ended. Make sure you intercede for order, intercede for soul. Galatians 6:6-9. Whatever you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. Learn to pray. Have a list of people you are praying for on a regular basis until there's a testimony. And number five, impatience. It may take a little bit, but it will come. He that will come, and will not tarry. Don't say, but if God will do it, He will have done it. Who told you? If you trust Him, you will wait for Him. And number six, pride. Luke 18:9-14. Pride. I am this, I am that. You better humble yourself as you are going to the prayer altar. Two people went to the prayer altar in Luke 18:9-14. The Pharisee and the other. The Pharisee was making bold. I pay my tithes. Nothing should be tight for me. I do this. I fast twice. God said, I don't want people like you. You are helpful. I want the helpless. I want those who can trust me, who know that I'm the only one. And the Bible says, he went from that place condemned. And the other one, who magnified God, worshiped God, bowed before him, humbled himself, was justified. From today, every aspect of pride in your heart is cast out. Grace to approach the prayer altar with all humility and with all connectivity. Receive it in Jesus' name. Stand on your feet. Give him thanks for whatever you believe you have received. Give him all the glory. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. I embrace the prayer covenant afresh. I follow the demand of it. So shall it be. In Jesus' name. Shall we welcome the mass choir as they lead us in praise? Put your hands together for the Lord for them.
All powerful.